Have you ever reviewed a panoramic X-ray and found an impacted maxillary canine that is adjacent to a first premolar with significant deviation or dilaceration of the palatal root? If you have, did you wonder whether that root deviation may have caused the impaction? Or maybe the impaction caused the root deviation? This is the question that is the focus of an article from Essex County Hospital in the United Kingdom. The title of the article is Maxillary Canine Displacement: Further Twists in the Tail. Now, I have to admit that part of the reason I selected this article was that it had this catchy title that sounds more like a whodunit novel than the usual dry scientific descriptors that I usually get to read. But the biggest reason that this paper attracted me was that it is the result of one person seeing an unusual clinical situation and then studying the available scientific data to see if it could be explained or understood. What a good practice this would be for all of us to do more often. The author presents two females, one age 13 and one 16, that each have an impacted maxillary canine associated with a significant deviation of the palatal root on the adjacent premolar. The author theorizes three possibilities. Number one, the deviated palatal root caused the impaction of the canine by obstructing its path. Number two, the impacted canine caused the root deviation due to the proximity of the canine during premolar root formation. Or number three, the appearance of the two is strictly coincidental with no causal relationship. To gain insight, the author first reviewed literature on tooth eruption and root development. From this review, he concluded that Hertwig's sheath, where root development is occurring, normally is not displaced in the bone, but rather the tooth grows away from it in an occlusal direction. This evidence makes the author believe that it is unlikely that the developing root would displace or obstruct an erupting canine. Secondly, the author reviewed evidence of root resorption caused by ectopic canines and concludes that if the root got in the way of the canine, chances are high that there would be some evidence of resorption on the premolar root. Lastly, the author examined the usual timing of root development and eruption and concluded that, at least in females, the proximity of the canine crown to the developing premolar root would be such that deviation of the root could be possible due to the canine's presence. So, after examination of his clinical cases and the available scientific evidence, this author believes that it is more likely that the impacted canine caused the root deviation of the developing premolar rather than the deviated root of the premolar causing impaction of the canine. Whether you agree or not with the author's conclusions, I think that the way that he approached this question could be a lesson for us all. If you would like to read Maxillary Canine Displacement, Further Twists in the Tail, you can find it in the February 2003 issue of the European Journal of Orthodontics.